Diamondbacks host the Cubs for a three-game series at Chase Field. Don't miss pregame coverage of Game 1 of the series tonight at 6 on Arizona Sports 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app.
Well, we took care of business in the regular season against them, but this is still a tough team. We know that Ant-Man is a lot to deal with. We know they're just getting Cat back into the lineup and getting adjusted, so we know they probably played a little bit into their game tonight, but ultimately we know what we can do on a nightly basis, and you know we're looking forward to it. We looked at this game as a message game, you know, looking forward, and hopefully, you know, it'll be an unbelievable series to come.
Bradley Beal, we looked at this game as a message game, message sent, message received. The Phoenix Suns, for the third time this year, absolutely took it to the Minnesota Timberwolves. As we welcome you back into the Burns and Gambo Show, 5 o'clock hour here. If you were monitoring the NBA yesterday, all of these games started exactly the same time. The NBA is very strategic about how they schedule this. And so we were all watching the scores. I was actually watching the Lakers game at the same time as the Suns game, so I kind of had them on side by side. Everything that needed to happen for the Suns yesterday for this dream scenario happened. The Lakers beat the Pelicans. The Suns beat the Timberwolves. That assured the Suns of being sixth and the Pelicans dropping down to seventh.
The Lakers beat the Pelicans' asses.
And then the Nuggets and the Thunder both won, which assured that Minnesota would finish third and not somewhere else. The combination of those four things, Suns win, Lakers win, Thunder win, Nuggets win, and you, it feels like, it almost feels like we don't deserve this gift from the basketball gods because our Suns team hasn't been worthy of it throughout the course of the year. They haven't played well enough to earn something like this. It's been so inconsistent all
maybe
year.
Maybe the owner's commitment to win makes the basketball gods think, you know what, that guy wants to win so badly, give it to him.
Maybe. But all of a sudden, the perfect, and I don't know if you could have drawn up anything more perfect, the perfect dream scenario has fallen in your lap if you're the Suns. You get Minnesota in a best of seven series that starts on Saturday. You get a week's worth of rest. I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off.
Go ahead, go.
Everything that you would have wanted, you got because of this.
Five teams that are seeded higher than the Suns. The only team that you could absolutely say for sure that you would have wanted to play was Minnesota. I don't think you could have said that, yeah, I want to play the Clippers. Yeah, I want to play the Mavs. I want to play Oklahoma City. I want to play Thunder. There was only one team rated ahead of you that you were like, bring them on. I'll take them. And that's Minnesota because it's styles make fight. That's a good style. It's a good matchup for the Phoenix Suns. Now, I think it's going to be a hell of a lot harder than these previous three games in which they beat their ass pretty easily. I think it's going to be much harder.
I agree.
I think the Minnesota's got a week now to go to work and figure it out. They've had the best defense in the league all year long. They'll try to figure out some ways. And remember, seven-game series is all about adjustments. It's all about adjustments. You see it all the time. Suns beat the Mavericks like a drum the first two games. Mavericks make some adjustments. They win the series. Like, it's adjustments. It's preparation. You're going to play the same team over and over again. Man, heck, we've seen it. We've seen it all. We saw it with San Antonio. Home and home. You win one, you lose one. It's not easy to go beat a team four games in a row. So I do believe that it's the best matchup. I just don't think it's going to be as easy as some people may believe it's going to be.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I do want to, you know, when I say the Suns don't deserve it, I don't mean it the way that sounds. I just mean that this season has been so inconsistent and the Suns have been so hard to get a read on that I don't think any of us could have imagined that not only would the Suns stay out of the play-in tournament, but they'd literally get the team that they probably would have handpicked in the first round. That just didn't feel like a likely outcome really at any point in time during this regular season because it's just been so unsteady. It's been so hot and cold. So maybe deserve was the wrong way to phrase it, but certainly it was an unexpected outcome. But I agree with you. But I also think there's something to be said too. And a lot of it depends on how much stock you want to put into what happened during the regular season. The Suns side of the bracket, okay? They're taking a Minnesota Timberwolves team that they were 3-0 against during the regular season. Should they get past Minnesota, they'll likely take on a Denver team that they were 2-1 against during the regular season. Whereas on the other side of the bracket, you're looking at the Clippers, you're looking at Dallas, and you're looking at OKC. Combined, the Suns were 2-8 against those teams during the. So in that, if you just look at the bracket, and you just kind of like you're looking at art on the wall in your house, and you go, "Look at, I like that side better." You know, you get Denver's. No one roots for Denver. Nobody wants Denver.
No.
But if you're applying regular season success to the equation, there's no question that the success you've had on this side of the bracket is way better than the success you've had on that other side
of the
bracket.
Denver may get the Lakers in the first round.
Might.
Look at the Lakers. Like, that's like that's not an easy task. They'll beat them, but it's not easy.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about that. They could.
Yeah, Denver's Lakers win tomorrow in New Orleans. Denver gets the Lakers. And in Oklahoma City, either gets New Orleans, Golden State, or Sacramento.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Denver probably doesn't have anything to worry about. But yeah, that's a... Because you could make an argument last year that the Lakers could have given Denver more of a fight. They just ran out of gas at the end because they played them in the Western Conference Finals, potentially.
Now, your path to win to an NBA championship may still very much have to go through. It may have to go through Minnesota.
Yep.
Denver. Oklahoma City, Boston. Okay, that might be. It might be. I'm not saying it because I don't know for sure.
Could be.
Minnesota, Denver, Oklahoma City, Boston. That might be your path. That's a tough path.
Yeah, oh, it's a tough path. It's a tough path. But the Suns, and we've got all week to preview this matchup, but let's also not you know, bury the lead here, too. By avoiding the play-in tournament, by not finishing 7th or 8th, Kevin Durant, you get a week off.
Right.
You get and not just Kevin Durant, but I think he's the one that rightfully we're going to focus on because we've had so many questions about him and fatigue and is he tired and is he wearing down? Kevin Durant gets a week off. I don't know if there's anything I'm happier about than that when it comes to this matchup other than it's Minnesota and it would just seem like it's a really bad fit for Minnesota to play the Suns.
Just the rest
is huge.
Kevin Durant's huge. Chilling right now. Oh, chilling. Yeah, see, that's chilling. Like Devin Booker said, we're just chilling. look, they're undefeated distance. Devin Booker said, we're just chilling. Right?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, they are. What's funny is I think
that's a rallying cry. Chilling.
I think about that second Clippers game, and in my mind, it still registers as a loss. I know they won. I still think of that game like they lost. You know, they won. But when you're down halfway through the fourth quarter to a team, you know, sitting there seven top guys, and you're not sitting your top seven guys, it still feels like the Suns. It was the closing stretch was amazing. We're going to talk more about Bradley Beal in a bit because he was obviously huge to the equation. We're going to talk about the 7-3 record over the last 10 games. But I think in totality, if you look at the last two games the Suns have played, the fourth quarter of the win against the Sacramento Kings, what they did yesterday against Minnesota. I mean, it's a reversal that very few of us could have seen coming based off of how they played in those two Clippers games. You win or lose. I don't think a lot of people saw that happening like that.
Now here's the $1 million question.
Yes.
Would you be comfortable taking a vacation in mid to late June this year? Would you be comfortable taking a vacation in mid to late June? NBA Finals, Game 1, June 6th, Game 2, June 9th, Game 3, June 12th, Game 7, June 23rd.
I'm going to shoot you straight. Yeah. I'm going to shoot everybody out there listening straight.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty comfortable.
Yes, you're pretty comfortable taking that vacation.
During the NBA Finals?
I think it's going to be hard to win four series in a row, but I'm going to take it one at a time right here. But I made sure that my vacation was after the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I mean, the Western Conference Finals? No. I'm not comfortable taking any time off then.
Okay.
I'm not going to go actively look to book anything during the NBA Finals, but am I like, oh, don't do it. We got to be sure. We got to be absolutely sure. No, but I'm not going to go anywhere that time of year anyway, so I'll be fine. But no, a run of the NBA Finals feels very unlikely. And I'm sure I'll regret that.
You don't think it feels a little bit different now with this 7-3 stretch?
Oh, that's a different question.
Okay.
Yeah, it feels different.
Feels a little different.
But does it make it likely now the Suns are going to the NBA? It still feels like a bit of a, right? Like you look at the history of six seeds getting to the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
There aren't a whole lot of them.
No.
Now, maybe this isn't your average six seed, but there are not a whole lot of them. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, 7-3 over their last 10, and it wasn't your garden variety 10-game schedule to close the season. It was a gauntlet. What does that tell us about this team's readiness? We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Hey, it's Wolf. What will the Suns' rotation look like when the playoffs get underway? And will Bol Bol be a part of it? We get going tomorrow at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
Yeah, it's crazy how, you know, it's a long season, but you got to play every game down to the wire, you know. Every game matters, man. A lot of games each team does lead has feel like they might have gave away 6 or 7 wins, you know. And that's just a part of the NBA, part of the grind. But it was good that we was able to come here and control our destiny a little bit with the last game. And glad the Lakers came out there and did their thing.
Yeah, we are glad the Lakers came and did their thing. Never been happier about a Lakers win in my life.
Yeah.
It's not a feeling I'm very comfortable with. Let's get that out of there. Thank you, Lakers.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Okay, benefit for them. It's benefited really, the Suns.
It's fine for about a 12-hour cycle, and then after that, it's just like poison in my veins, man. I got to get it out. I can't be rooting for the Lakers. I can't have Lakers love in my system. I just can't get it out. Although, I'll tell you, you know, there is part of me that would very much like them to beat the Pelicans again tomorrow and face the Denver Nuggets in the first round. I think the Lakers could give the Nuggets.
Just push them far enough.
Not beat them, but push them.
Push them enough to like make them work and not get like some extra rest in between the two rounds.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I am not assuming the Suns get past Minnesota. It's going to be a different deal come playoffs. I don't expect that level of domination. But although the Pelicans might be able to push the Denver Nuggets too. The Pelicans are so loaded with their roster. Anyway, get ahead of ourselves. The Phoenix Suns, in their final 10 games to face the season, the combined winning percentage of the 10 teams that they were playing, it was the toughest stretch, the toughest gauntlet to close any season that any team had faced since the Memphis Grizzlies back in 2015.
Yeah, what did they do in that schedule?
They went 1-9.
1-9.
They went 1-9. And we all did, at the start of that 10-game stretch, Gambo, we looked at it and said, man, 1-9. Memphis Grizzlies, they were like 10 games above 500 when they started that stretch.
Yeah.
They barely finished as a 500 team when they were done with it. The Suns went 7-3 against their 10-game stretch. And you asked a great question earlier in the show, and I don't know if we can totally, completely recreate the conversation, but what the takeaways from that 7-3 stretch, for like when you
what were the
think
biggest takeaways
about those 10 games, what do you think of? And you said the road wins.
The
fact that they succeeded on the road.
5 games on the road against good teams. Like, to me, that really stood out. Like, that was, like, the biggest thing is that they went on the road. Their only losses were at Oklahoma City, home to New Orleans, and then to Clippers. Their wins were at Minnesota, at Sacramento, at the Clippers, at New Orleans, and at Denver. They had home wins versus Minnesota and Cleveland in there, too. But that gauntlet had a lot of tough road games, and they won 5 big road games out of the 7 wins that they had.
I've got so many different answers to this question. It's my brain's just kind of it's scrambling right now trying to think of them all. I think of the Pelicans and the Kings win first and foremost. I think of those 2 games first of all, because we're not sitting here having this conversation without those 2 wins. They lose to the Kings. They're the 7th seed. I mean, it's just they don't rally in the fourth quarter to win that game. They don't rally in the last 3 minutes of that game. They are not the 6th seed.
And they're probably sitting guys against the T-Wolves.
Probably
sitting those guys.
Just rest guys for Tuesday's game.
No reason to play them.
You're also not having the tiebreaker advantage over the Pelicans if you don't get 52 from Devin Booker in that game that night. So those 2, out of the 10, I think of those 2 first. Then my mind goes to Bradley Beal, which we'll talk about in the next segment because he's been unbelievable and his role's just kind of evolving. And then my mind goes to the fact that 2 of those wins were against the team that you're about to play 7 games against, the Minnesota Timberwolves. And you punked them. I mean, just like humiliated them in both of those
133-115. That was back in November. They won 133-115, so that's an 18-point win. They had a 10-point win on April 5th.
But they led that game with about minutes to go, 7 minutes to go.
And then yesterday they won 125-106. All 3 wins, they won 3 games by a total of 47 points.
Yeah, and 2 of those games were part of this 10-game stretch. So if you're talking about, like, you don't think, and we're going to be previewing this matchup all week long here on the Burns and Gambo Show, you don't think that in Minnesota, there's an article that we're sitting on for tomorrow that was written by the Timberwolves beat writer for The Athletic, who's like, oh my God, this is the worst matchup in the world for Minnesota. And here's the reasons why.
Is that the one last week? Does Timberwolves have a Suns problem?
No, the same guy.
Okay.
New article. Like,
okay.
Like this, the It was Carl Anthony Towns who said, yeah, it's so Minnesota for us to go play the Suns. And the first, it was that article. It was the, that's so Minnesota. So I think about all of that when I think about the there's so much that the Clippers games in the middle of it all. Man, they lose at home. No Kawhi, no James Harden. They barely win the next night when they're sitting seven of their guys. Hope is lost. We were throwing dirt, shovel full of dirt on this team after those two Clippers games. Now it's like it didn't even happen. It's like, oh yeah, they lost to the Clippers. Big whoop. So, you know, that was all part of these last 10 games. It was a crazy stretch.
Okay, what's their grade in those final 10 games? What grade do you give them? It's got to be a B+.
I was going to say B+ or an A-.
It's got to be a B+.
I was going to say an A-, actually.
Isn't it the same thing? Is it an A-?
Yeah, of course.
And a B+
the same thing? Yeah.
Okay.
Is that okay?
You have to like say something different? Why can't you just have B+?
You just want me to agree with
I'm
you?
I'm like,
with,
I was going to give a B+. I'll give an A-.
Do you want me to just agree with you
what,
all the time?
Gambo,
you're so smart.
No, it's
you're
the same
right.
grade. It's the same grade.
Yeah, except one's a B and one's an A.
I'm not going to get into
this. I got a lot of problems with you people.
I'm not going to get into this. I'll give it a B+. You know what? I'm not going to give it a B+. I'll give it an A-. Isn't it the same freaking grade?
Well, then don't ask. Look, I'm not the one who gave you grapes with seeds in them. Don't take your aggression out on me.
That's Chelsea.
Don't.
Who buys grapes
don't get
with
mad
seeds
at me
in these
because
days.
You got packed.
I just
with
threw them all away.
Grapes that have seeds in them.
It was too hard to eat them.
Not
I ate like
fault.
7 out of the 30 I had. It was too difficult.
Not my fault. You got anger issues today.
Yes.
It's not my problem.
It's a complete crap.
It's exactly right. Seedless grapes, Chelsea. This is buying grapes with seeds in them.
Chelsea. Hot garbage.
It's hot garbage.
B+, A-. It's either way, it's tomato,
like they
tomato.
Get a great grade for the final 10 games.
Yes,
even
they
if
get
there
a great
was
grade. They get a great grade.
The Clippers clunkers in there. They overall it was a great 10 games for them.
It was a season
defining. Wow, that might be it.
I was
a season-defining 10-game stretch.
Let's find out if it is. I think it's got the potential to be a season. I was thinking of, do I want to use the word defining or do I want to use the word saving? Do I want to use the word it was a season-defining stretch or do I want to use the phrase it was a season-saving stretch? And the truth is, we're not going to know the answer to that question
until after the playoffs are over
for another month or two, depending on how this goes. But it's potential that we look back on those 10 games and say it defined the season or it saved the season. I think we could, you know what? I'm going to correct myself. Define the season, we're going to have to wait and see. Saved the season? I don't think there's any doubt these 10 games saved the season. I don't think there's any doubt that these 10 games, given what was waiting for them at the end with the 6 seed and a favorable matchup against Minnesota, I think these 10 games saved the Phoenix Suns season and gave us something to be very excited about. Defined, we'll find out. Saved, yes. Okay. I think it's saved. See where I'm going with that?
Fair.
You like that?
Fair, yeah. I'm not going to contradict you on it. It's fair. Saving.
I don't need you to agree with me just for the sake of agreeing
with
me.
No, but I think it's a great season saving 10 game stretch. Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You give that take a B+ or an A-. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show.
I first got to make sure you didn't plagiarize and steal from somebody else.
Oh, stop it. Bradley Beal, is he the key to a successful Suns playoff run? We're going to talk about him and what he's meant to this basketball team next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Burns and Gambo, what's on tonight?
All right, what's on tonight? The games that we're going to watch this evening, and it is brought to you by Global Credit Union. 12 branches here to serve you. Become a member today by going to globalcu.org. Gambo on tonight. The Arizona Diamondbacks are on tonight. They're taking on the Chicago Cubs this evening in the first of 3 games between the two teams locally.
Sad day for the Cubbies. They lost a 3-time World Series champion, Ken Holtzman. Died at the age of 78. I remember Ken Holtzman with the A's.
Do you?
Yes, remember with the A's. Some of my first memories of baseball was when I was like 6, 7, 8 years old. And that's those years the A's won the World Series. 72, 73, 74. They were great.
Yeah. Cubs come in here with their new manager, Craig Counsell.
Craig Counsell.
Who I believe the Cubs fan on the show who's on her way out the door, leaving a little early so she can get down to the arena, the stadium.
Why can't I leave early? I'm going too.
Because it's not the Burns and Lauren show. It's the Burns and Gambo show.
Let's make it the Burns and Lauren show so I don't have these obligations anymore.
You have to stay here and you're chained.
Tired of these obligations.
You have to host this show.
Who did you say the manager was again?
Craig Counsell. That's how she said it the other day. I was going to say was
better than Torrey Lovello. Colt Wong?
Torrey Lovello, I believe, called Craig Counsell the best manager in baseball or the National League. I think pregame I saw that on Twitter.
Who said that?
Torrey Lovello. Called Craig Counsell the best manager in baseball.
Colt Wong.
Colt Wong? What the hell are we talking about? Colt Wong?
What about him? You guys signed him. I didn't even know that.
Did you see that tweet we got from a listener over the weekend? Apparently, Colton Wong hit a home run in the minor league system.
No.
Yeah, and like his first home run in the Diamondbacks organization.
Yeah.
And Scott is his name, and he tweeted us, and he said, Colton Wong!
Colton Wong!
With a bunch of question marks. It's funny.
That was one of the, I got such a kick out of that. It really made me laugh.
Mitch, do me a favor. While I play this quote from Bradley Beal after Sunday's game, get me ready the one from Friday. Is it on top? Is it on in my audio file? Okay, I didn't see that. Here we go. Here's Bradley Beal.
Another strong performance for you out there. 36 points.
Yeah, right. Hey, yeah. Bradley Beal. That's all we got to say. Yeah.
That was Bradley Beal after yesterday's game with Amanda Flugrad. This is Bradley Beal. This is the money cut from the weekend. This might be the soundbite of the week. Bradley Beal with Amanda Flugrad after the game on Friday.
Playoff zone, man. It's time. It's time to stop playing defense. It's time to execute and take care of the ball offense. It's time, man. We want to win the ring. It's time, Amanda.
It's time.
I'm hype as hell. I'm ready to go.
It's time, Gambo. It's time, Mitch. It's time for Lauren to leave to get down to the Cubs game. It's time, Gambo. It's time. It is time. Bradley Beal has been amazing. And for me, what's made it amazing is that it was just about a week ago where we were talking about Bradley Beal, the facilitator. We were talking about Brad Beal, the sacrificer, right? We were talking about Bradley Beal, who isn't looking to shoot the basketball very much and is just looking to set guys up because he knows that's what needs to be done. And he's going to go out there and play defense. These last couple of games, it's been about Bradley Beal having maybe the two most important quarters of Suns basketball this year. The fourth against the Kings on Friday, the first against Minnesota yesterday, might have been the two most important quarters any singular player has played this year for the Suns.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that his involvement as an overall player defensively, passing, and at times scoring and taking the load off those guys has really hit its peak in the last 2 weeks. The team is peaking at the exact time that Bradley Beal figured out, okay, this is my role with this team. I'll score when I need to, but I'm going to play hard on the defensive end. I'm going to pass the ball. I'm going to come up with steals. I'm going to defend their best guys. You know, his role has taken on a whole bunch of new meaning in the last few weeks, and he's done a great job of it.
He is doing something that Kevin Durant and Devin Booker have not consistently been able to do, especially these last few weeks. Bradley Beal's bringing the juice every single night.
Every single night.
Devin Booker hasn't. Kevin Durant hasn't. Now, that doesn't mean that those guys aren't going to be valuable and important and are obviously the Suns' best players and are going to have a huge, huge role in the Suns going far in the playoffs. No one's saying that they're not. I'm just saying in these last 10 games, Bradley Beal every single night has brought the juice. And I don't think you can say the same thing about Durant. And I don't think you can say the same thing about Devin Booker. Whether it's the emotional leadership, the on-the-court leadership, the willing to sacrifice parts of the game, the willing to try to take games over in certain moments. We all focus on Beal like at the end of the Kings game and the beginning of yesterday's game. How about the beginning of the fourth quarter against Sacramento? They were in like a 10-point hole, and he hit
the big three that tied it.
Huge run in that game,
yeah,
right?
Just dominated. I mean, and how about the first quarter yesterday? How many points did he score in the first quarter? 16?
16 in the first quarter, yeah.
I mean, the end of that game, yeah, he's playing his best basketball right now. They're playing their best basketball right now. Everybody's peaking. They're peaking at the right time, which is what you want. You want to peak at the right time.
Okay, I don't want to contradict you. Is everybody really playing their best basketball in the Suns right now?
The team is.
The team is, but like Kevin Durant's not. I don't think Devin Booker is. I don't think those two guys are playing their best basketball.
I mean,
right
Devin
Booker
had some really good games during that 10-game stretch.
Yeah, yes.
He had some bad games too, but he had some really good games.
He did. I don't know. I just don't know if I'd go as far as to say that individually some of those guys are having their best stretches of the season. I don't think Kevin Durant is. I think Kevin Durant has looked pretty worn out these last few games.
Well, then it's a good thing that he's got
absolutely.
The next
I'm
5 days
to contradict you. I just
chill
I mean,
out, watch some Netflix or Apple TV or whatever he wants to do.
I'll tell you what, a week ago, Bill Simmons on his podcast was talking about how, man, we're using this big three phrase too often. There's there's no big three in Phoenix. That's not a big three. Tune changed.
Bill, over the last five games, it really jumped out in the Sacramento game, which I thought was a great win for them. And then this game too, Beal was just awesome. Like he looked like, I don't know, a cross between 2017 playoffs, Bradley Beal, and then kind of near the end of the Wizards before it went sideways Beal. But we haven't seen that version of him at all. And this was the game today was the first time I felt like it was the three of them and not just KD and Booker kind of with Beal. And I wasn't expecting that. I didn't know if he had this in him.
Yeah, well, he does.
Yeah. You see Nurk clap back at him?
Yes, I did.
Did she Nurk clap back at him?
Yes, I did. That was odd. Let me share this with everybody. This is so funny. Here it is right here. It took me a minute to find it. Bill Simmons, there was that moment yesterday. And I'm going to say this right now. We said this last week. A lot of respect for Bill Simmons. You know, he knows the NBA very, very well. He knows what he's talking about the NBA very much. But at one point during that game yesterday, remember when Beal was kind of clapping back at Chris Finch and then Anthony Edwards got involved, right? There's a little bit of jawing going on the floor.
Right.
Bill Simmons, tweeted out, "Oh no, the Suns went up big early and talked bleep to Ant." All caps, story developing. After the game, Yusef Nurkic retweeted that, and he said, developing your ass, basically.
You know, here's the thing. This is how many national media guys have buried the Phoenix Suns this year?
Oh, wow.
Every single one.
All of them.
It's going to be a lot of people, a lot of them that are not going to root for the Phoenix Suns this year. And not going to root for the Suns because they want to be right. Told you that team was no good. Told you there was something wrong. Told you there was something missing. Told you because everybody at some point or another had written this team off and didn't believe in them.
Yeah. Well, you said hot garbage guy. Stephen A. Smith from ESPN yesterday says Minnesota is a really good matchup for the Suns.
Unlike other teams, see with Minnesota, when you got Cat and you got Rudy Gobert, if your success is predicated on anything in the interior, it'll be problematic going up against Minnesota. Phoenix doesn't need anything on the interior to get flowing because of KD Book and obviously Bradley Beal. They can beat you from the perimeter. If they do that, I don't know how Minnesota answers that call. That's a very interesting series.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. There'll be some people who will not want the Suns to do well so they can do the whole I told you.
Kendrick Perkins.
Oh, yeah. Although Kendrick Perkins was on with Wolf and Luke today, he picked Minnesota to win the series. I'd play the cup. We're out of time. But, yeah, he picked Minnesota to win the series, no doubt. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, here come the Cubbies. Who's the biggest difference maker on this year's Cubs team? We'll preview tonight's game coming up next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Arizona Sports, the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball. We're checking in on the Diamondbacks as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, brought to you by Sonic. Drive to your nearest Sonic location for the Oreo Big Scoop Cheesecake Sundae for a limited time only at Sonic. And by 72 Sold. 72 Sold. Get a higher price for your home.
And away we go with D-backs on deck as we've got Diamondbacks baseball coming up next right after us here on the Burns and Gambo show. So stay tuned for that. The opener of a 3-game series between the Chicago Cubs and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Boy, the Diamondbacks have had the fan favorite organizations coming in this first month of the season,
man.
Haven't they? The Yankees,
the Cardinals,
the St. Louis Cardinals, the Chicago Cubs.
Oh, yeah.
Big crowds in the Colorado Rockies. Okay, not them. But everybody else.
We thank them teams for coming in because they probably helped Ken Kendrick get Jordan Montgomery.
Probably did.
Didn't pitch too well in his minor league game the other day.
I saw where Torrey Lovello had said that he's throwing the fastball. He's trying to figure out the fastball. We're not worried about the results at all. But yeah, well, we're going to see him very, very soon. More on that coming up in just a moment or two. Tonight's pitching matchup live from Chase Field for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Their co-ace, Merrill Kelly, is going to get the start tonight. The righty is 2-0 on the season with a 2.29 ERA. His last time out against the Colorado Rockies, 6 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs, walked 3, struck out 4. He's going to be opposed by Ben Brown, the righty who's got no decisions on the year so far with a 6.10 ERA.
Yeah, he had a disastrous MLB start against the Rangers. That was his MLB debut. He's made 2 appearances since then, pitched 8 innings, given up 6 hits and 1 run. 2 walks and 10 strikeouts. So rough outing against the Rangers that has bounced back the last 2 times. And that's where why he was a top prospect in their organization, had a great spring training. And, you know, that's why they have a lot of belief in him that he's going to be good. So he has bounced back the last couple of days. Keep your eye on Cody Bellinger. He's faced Merrill Kelly the most out of anybody. 7 for 25 against him. Not great. 280, 2 doubles, 2 home runs. But he has a lot of at bats against Merrill Kelly.
Yeah, and a little bit of pop in there, too, obviously, with some of those numbers. Cubs come in with a 9-6 record so far on the season with their new manager, Craig Counsell. The Diamondbacks have evened up their record to an even 500 at 8-8 after their weekend series win against the St. Louis Cardinals, which Zach Gallen pitched exceptional yesterday. Ryan Nelson pitched exceptional on Saturday. Brandon Pfaadt not so hot on Friday against the St. Louis Cardinals. And with Jordan Montgomery coming, I mean, we assume Pfaadt stays in the rotation and that there's going to be a decision made between Tommy Henry and Ryan Nelson. But Pfaadt's ERA of 6.5 is one that's kind of getting our attention a little bit. It's got to get better.
No, it's no question that, you know, they've got 3 young guys in the rotation. And when Montgomery comes back, somebody's got to leave. And then when Eduardo Rodriguez is ready, somebody's got to leave. And we'll see what else happens. But I do think it's a battle between not just Henry and Nelson, but between Henry, Nelson, and Pfaadt.
Yeah, we are a ways away from Eduardo Rodriguez returning. Now, exactly when, we don't know, but the news that we had on Friday was that they were kind of taking a pause on his rehab because he was starting to feel some symptoms in the shoulder, so they were going to kind of shut him down for a little bit. We started doing the math kind of in our head, trying to figure out a timeline for him, and the best we could come up with was maybe like the mid to the end of May, perhaps, maybe even a little later than that, depending on how long it takes him to kind of gear back up. Along those lines, it is time for today's injury report, and it's brought to you by Wilderness Athlete. Accelerate your recovery with Hydrate and Recover from Wilderness Athlete at wildernessathlete.com. Troy Lovello today updated the media on what's going on with the injuries right now. First of all, when it comes to Jordan Montgomery, according to what was said today pregame, the Diamondbacks will keep their rotation basically in order until Montgomery's debut, which is planned on Friday. That means Kelly today, Henry on Tuesday, Pfaadt on Wednesday, Ryan Nelson again on Thursday, and then Montgomery on Friday. Okay. So that's the plan with him. Alec Thomas, according to Jody Jackson, had 8 at-bats in a simulated game today.
Good.
But then according to the AZ Central, he still is only doing some light jogging.
Okay.
So he still got some way to go with the legs. Paul Sewald throws another bullpen tomorrow.
There we go.
So I would imagine he's getting close to making his return. And Alex Weiner tweets out, no exact date yet on Jordan Montgomery. I know I said Friday, but Torrey basically said it's his understanding that Montgomery has to be with the team on Friday. So I think that's kind of the deadline day for him to get called up from the minors. So we're anticipating that debut from him then.
I want to mention this, and we haven't got a chance to get this earlier. Lourdes Gurriel is on pace for 182 RBIs right now.
I don't think he's going to get there.
I don't think he's going to get there either.
I don't think he's going to.
He's on pace for 41 homers and 182 RBIs.
He's not going to get there.
You don't buy the Pina Power?
I just had to bring that up.
I buy the Pina Power. I just don't think he's going to finish with 182.
Now, he didn't get a hit yesterday, but those first 2 games against the Cardinals, I mean, he's been tearing the cover off the ball. He's got 4 homers. He's got 18 runs batted in and 4 home runs on the season, and he's batting almost 300, 297.
I'll tell you what right now. Lunch bet with either of you guys that Lourdes...
Stop it. Just stop it.
Okay, good. I'm going to put it out there. If you want it, I'll take that bet and say I'm going to go under on the 180. He's been off to a terrific start. But remember, with Lourdes Gurriel, he is one of the streakiest players
off
on the
to a
roster.
Great start.
He is off to a great start. He is one of the streakiest players on the roster.
I'm going to the game tonight. I'm just really curious if the roof is going to be open.
Well, I'm glad.
I don't even know. I'm going to the game.
I'm glad you asked.
D-backs Roof Report on Arizona Sports 98.7 in the Arizona Sports app. Brought to you by Renco Roofing. Over and above for 20 years and counting.
It's open. The roof is open tonight. Absolutely. Nice. The roof is open. It's going to be a beautiful 73 degrees, give or take, around first pitch. So with the roof open, outdoor stadium, enjoy it while the weather's still nice before it gets brutally hot. Yes, the roof will be open for tonight's game. So there's that. You'll be excited about that.
I am.
So the D-backs.
I just threw away my keys to the game. Have it all written down here. Well, I put it in the garbage. I'm like, wait, show's not over.
You're so excited to leave and get out of here.
The show's not over.
You threw away the keys to the game. Quick, before Gambo does something else to the keys to the game, hit the sounder thing.
Bitch. Man, I need you to be the key master.
I am the key master.
Arizona Sports, the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball. D-backs keys to the game. Driven by Trucks Only, the Valley's number one independent dealer and home of the lifetime engine warranty.
All right, you're going to love this. They've hit, the Cubs have hit home runs in five straight games. They're 8-3 when they hit at least one home run. They're 4-0 when they hit multiple home runs. Michael Busch has homered in four straight games. And in the last 10 games, he's batting .389 with three doubles, five homers, and 11 RBIs. Be wary of the long ball because it leads to a lot of success. And be wary of Michael Busch, who's hitting .389 in the last 10.
So be careful with him, all right?
Be careful with him.
That's your key to the game for tonight. We'll see how Merrill Kelly does against this Cubs lineup. So far this year, Merrill Kelly has had three outings. He's given up two earned runs, one earned run. He's been fantastic for the Arizona Diamondbacks, and he's got a little trend to continue. Zach Gallen was great yesterday against St. Louis.
He'll take that challenge.
Ryan Nelson was great on Saturday against the St. Louis Cardinals. First pitch is coming up at 6:40. Pre-game coverage right around the corner. That's going to do it for us. We are out of here. We'll see you tomorrow straight up 2 o'clock right here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a great night, everyone.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.